Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 108, Matthew 6:21, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by Jessica Granger, who has written for Hawaii Five-O, another Lil Wynn connection, I suspect, and directed by Holly Dale. She a veteran of Rain, two Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes in a career that goes back to the late 1990s.
Small world, given that she's directed something we have so much experience podcasting. Happen to know which ones, Matt?
Pete, she directed in 2013 The Bridge and in 2014 A Hen in the Wolf House.
Well, The Bridge was a mid-season cliffhanger loaded with action there. So immediately we know that she knows what she's doing.
Absolutely, Pete. And by the way, worth mentioning, this is an episode that had a 0.8 rating with 7.6 million viewers. Certainly a healthy outing, not the highest, not the smallest. Just a solid Sunday night with our friends and the account.
Matt, we gave away a gift to our audience in November. We're going to do that again in December. You'll recall we had a raffle for every listener liking, sharing, retweeting, leaving reviews on iTunes, and all of those actions are going to get you in the running for a Star Trek Discovery Season 1 Blu-ray. A second one we're giving away the night we will podcast the next Star Trek Short Trek, which will be December 6th.
Exciting times, Pete. And something tells me, Pete, if you're into the, I don't know, the open-minded, multicultural view the God Friend of Me gives us, you know what? Star Trek Discovery, probably up your alley as well.
Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Miles is in an elevator with Blair, a pregnant woman, and classmate and lady friend, Nia. They're stuck in an elevator, living it up while it's going nowhere. It's stuck. But this is no bottle episode. The elevator doors eventually open and Miles' work here is done. New suggestion, Sal Tompkins. Title card, then Kara's getting dressed. So is Eli. Y'all know what's up. She gets a text from Miles. Ready to God some account? Elsewhere, Rakesh and Lucy are searching the dark web for Falcon and get some info from Fibonacci 6-1. Let's meet at Strawberry Fields in Central Park. The crew meets up and Miles has one wrinkle about Sal Tompkins. He's dead.
An act break later, they're at an estate sale. Very hipstery. They find possibly the coolest desk ever. There's an envelope in it for Alfie. The back reads Matthew 6:21. Helpful estate manager man says that Alfie is Sal's stepson. No Alfie Tompkins around, though. Maybe he's Alfie Collins after his mom. They could search, but look, there's his ad for Alfie Collins, attorney at law. Meanwhile, the Reverend Dad Arthur is meeting up with Trish and daughter Allie.
Our crew sees Alfie in the one courthouse set in New York. Hey! It's Kenny from Mad Men. And shouldn't you shave for court? Alfie reflects on his life. Dad died when he was young. Mom remarried and died after a few years. Alfie never really connected with Sal. Alfie hears about the God account and is just about ready to leave. He's at peace anyway.
Miles splits to meet Nia. They discuss her test of faith. Leukemia as a child, but cancer-free these 11 years. She'd also like a romantic evening with Miles. Speaking of romantic evenings, literally, is Rakesh and Kara. Not having a romantic evening, but speaking about them. There's an info update, the God account posted near Battery Park. Then Rakesh and Lucy are off to Strawberry Fields. Here's what they learn. Fibonacci isn't coming, and Lucy is single. Nothing is real.
Kara meets up with Miles. They find the spot where the picture was taken, but Matthew's not a person. It's a boat. There's a safe, and Alfie's there too. He did recognize the spot and is ready to use the 621 to open the safe. One of those three-digit safes with giant numbers for TV. In the safe is a manuscript for a children's book, A Day at Sea. Alfie leaves, and Kara notes the postscript. Sal wrote it for Alfie, unable to share his love like a proper stepfather.
Miles, Kara, and Rakesh dig deep into Alfie. Turns out he changed his legal practice as well as all his social media posts 6 months ago. Rakesh takes literally 3 seconds to find Alfie's old secretary, cut to lunch with her, when she reveals Alfie changed enough to get his secretary to send roses every week to an address. He didn't burn out from the law firm, his heart was broken, and she still knows the address by heart.
At the church, Arthur won't be playing jazz tonight, and Allie is disappointed to hear about it. She accepts it and has a gift, a pocket square. He used to play jazz for his late wife. Allie says it's okay for him to want to play for someone else. Meanwhile, Miles and Kara go to the address, and it's pregnant Blair from the elevator. In the house, Blair explains that Alfie just split. Her pregnancy and their child having no effect on him. She's told his life did change, and, oh gosh, her water has broken. Kara takes Blair to the hospital while Miles tracks down Alfie at a park the lawyer often visited. Miles convinces Alfie he's ready to be a father in some way, and they go to the hospital.
Blair's had the baby. How will Alfie be in their lives? Well, she's ready to listen. The episode concludes with a trip to the Blue Danube for the Reverend Dad to play his sax. The whole gang is there, including Kara and Eli, the latter of which meets Miles for the first time. Everyone's completely happy, though with Miles and Nia and Eli stepping away to get another drink, Kara looks at her happy friend, a question in her mind. Rakesh gets an ominous text of a photo of he and Lucy from who he believes to be Falcon.
Now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, here's a question for you. What if the God account is one of us? What if there really is somebody behind it, and we're starting to see evidence of that storyline with that picture taken in Central Park?
Oh, I think there is undoubtedly a human connection. I don't know that whoever snapped that photo, however, is connected to the account. I don't think blackmail, extortion would be the type of thing somebody connected with all this good would look to perpetrate.
You got a villainous vibe from whoever sent that picture?
I did. The context of the photo's unclear, and you can only imagine who might be sent that next.
That's an interesting place where it could go. Particularly, I don't know, I had expressed in the last podcast a little notation just of some of the characters that have been seemingly written out for good thus far, or characters that we haven't seen much of. The Rabbi Zoe, Jaya, and Allie's girlfriend. I guess the show does get some, it gets some points here by having Jaya in the episode, just not appearing in the episode. It'll be telling to see if what on the surface is just a fella and a lady sitting on a park bench. I mean, there certainly is nothing illicit in it. And I feel Rakesh's dedication to the distant Jaya to be a true one at this point. It'll be interesting to see if they take that in such a story direction of, you know, who's Rakesh hanging out with and what will Jaya say and things of that sort.
This episode doubles down on the God account from the perspective, Matt, that we have two suggestions that get explored. We've had two suggestions in an episode before, the pilot, but they don't move on to the second suggestion until the second episode. And with Blair and then with Sal, Not only do we get two suggestions, but we get our first dead suggestion, a real phenomenon on Facebook. I have a couple former, friends or, family members who are deceased who still have Facebook accounts and they're still like hanging out there.
It's certainly it's a novel use of that fact to turn it into something in this episode. And again, I may be repeating myself, but I continue to be tickled pink by how the show takes its case of the week, kind of like if this was a detective show, it'd be somebody comes in the first, in the teaser act and says, oh, help me find my dog / husband / missing jewels / whatever. Here they kind of keep mixing it up, and the notion that the crux of the story, not, kind of the Blair portion notwithstanding, that it surrounds a dead person. And then honestly, I was, when the Blair situation gets resolved early on, seemingly it's like, okay, well, they're kind of mixing things up and they're subverting expectations to then have it loop back around. I really thought it was a novel use of this structure.
It was, particularly as quickly as it had happened, and it felt complete. And it was it's funny that the bottle idea occurred here. It was like a mini episode early on. Oh, I get suggestion. I run into or seek out the person. I help them. Hey, here you go with a baby name. And then I move on. And it was a really cute story that Miles told as to, how he was given his name. But then to have it loop back, yeah, I agree with you. And I thought it was played for maximum effect.
I appreciate as well, and kudos here to episode writer Jessica Granger, the time in the elevator, irrespective of whether she's going to loop back or not, Blair is, it could have been just like, I don't know, write like a paragraph of like, it's going to be okay. Just take some deep breaths. Let's be calm here. Maybe play it for laughs. I don't know what to do. Nia, do you know what to do? Instead, again, the show knows when to cut to, we're going to do character stuff and we're going to give some Miles backstory. It's not just the interest of, hey, here's where this person got his name from. And, we all have anecdotes you could share for 3 or 4 sentences on that journey, probably, for how we got our names. But to then, turn it into something larger and the civil rights movement, and it's meant to be a reminder to Miles and those around him. It's like getting maximum character effort and character effect from it. And whenever I'm kind of a little less than thrilled with aspects of this show, they nonetheless bring it back to character stuff, which is always the place you should return to, not the razzle dazzle of, oh no, we can't get to Wi-Fi, or just something kind of mundane like that. Bring it back to characters.
The only thing I found myself wondering as I watched it that they didn't return to was the name. We never got a name of the baby, and after that being the real crux of their early interaction, you would have thought there would have been, hey, Miles, meet Miles, or meet Alfie, or meet a Malfie or something. But I think it really would have detracted, and maybe they workshopped that. I think it might have detracted, would have detracted from the really realistic way in which they handled the resolution of Blair and Alfie, instead of Hollywood ending. He is here. Woman takes him back, though he was terrible. All is worked out because baby.
I think that's a great observation. I wonder if maybe as late as the editing process, the editing of the footage of the episode, if maybe the baby name came out for timing or because whatever choice was written or recorded on set maybe just didn't work the way they thought. Because I feel like you're right. Like, they're setting enough, nothing. Babies tend to get names when they're born. Now, I'll grant you, you know, sometimes it's a couple days, but I think you need to, like, you got to check out of the hospital with an official name. If only as a placeholder for later, and that could have been story stuff, but it was late in the episode, so not going to be like, let's name him Baby and have the debate and change it in a couple months or whatever. But it does feel like it's an opportunity that was, I don't want to say wasted, but just an opportunity that was there and not used. Speaking of babies, Pete, just want to point out one thing, and I know that you know this very well, your father being being a medical man.
An obstetrician, no less.
Indeed. Blair's water breaks, and in the time it takes Miles to scoop up Alfie, a baby joins the world. That it tends not to be quite that quick. That's my understanding of things, particularly first time out, et cetera, et cetera. But it certainly is not impossible. I'm just saying it worked out well that by the time Miles and Alfie get to the hospital, mother and baby are resting comfortably.
Well, first baby, willful suspension of belief or disbelief, we shall say.
Pete, here's another question for you. One perhaps a bit more in our realm, not the realm of the show. Will we get episodes of this show in December?
I don't know. And whatever I have done to attempt to confirm that has been thwarted to this point. So your guess, Matt, is as good as mine.
My bet is probably not, particularly with some football stuff in there. I know it's not every Sunday necessarily that there's football stuff in the evening, but my bet, Pete, is that after next week, the show goes on a little mini hiatus and returns January 6th. And yeah.
So much relationship stuff throughout this episode, Matt. Karen and Eli being the one that is cemented the most at this point because they woke up in the same apartment and put clothes on.
Yes. Something tells me, Pete, that they probably did not have an adventure like we saw in the movie Big, where they merely just put on pajamas and then got into the bunk bed and had a nice nappy nap or something like that. But I like that we see Kara's relationship progressing. I'm not entirely sure of my feelings. I increasingly feel like the character is defined by the men around her. And if they're going to not have Miles and Kara have a relationship, have a romantic relationship, I feel like we've kind of seen this type of story before where she's made a choice, but now she looks back and wonders if it's the right one.
Yeah, and as that's going on, the decision for Miles and Nia to become closer, which I think we saw from the moment that Nia, DJ Trek, was introduced, was a real possibility. Given her background as a leukemia survivor here in remission, all the more sweet for them to progress.
Again, while I kind of say, is Eli here to be a story element for Kara to say, no, road not taken, and back it up, it's nonetheless very kind of organically character-driven. Old relationships do restart. I kind of like the serendipity of Miles and Nia meeting at the marketing class. And again, there's just kind of this... The show can fall into an easy, and I mean that as a compliment, it can fall into an easy, I don't say pattern, but an easy place to exist where it's about these people's lives and much, at times, much less about, oh man, the magic app gave us a magic mission where interesting things are going to happen that are unique to today.
And then Rakesh and Lucy, Matt, a couple of moments within the episode here that makes you think this could be more than just a partnership.
Yeah, I suspect that's where it might be headed, which of course I think we all kind of suspect it. I guess what I'm saying is I don't feel that they have tipped their hand and that's guaranteed where it's going to go. But I think Lucy maybe has some interest. I think Rakesh is still firmly happy with Jaya. gone out of the camera's eye as she might be. That will be an interesting pair to explore, because I have a soft spot for Rakesh. I think he's so kind of earnest and so kind of innocent almost, and it's fun to see him interacting kind of frankly as more than somebody deleted all their Facebook pictures. I got all their Facebook pictures. You know, there's times he's offering up exposition. This is, again, character stuff.
Well, I think his naivete leads us to believe there's a situation where he could be blackmailed here. He doesn't see the potential for that photo with another woman to be sent to Jaya, who he missed his Skype date with. And, that this could quash things with her. Matt, was that photo indeed sent by Falcon?
I think, certainly they were on the hunt for Falcon. I think that's the most logical one. I did wonder, is it Falcon as agent of the God account, or Falcon as a third-party mystery, kind of mystery investigator out there? I think next episode will be very telling for a lot of these story threads, particularly if they had a sense early on that this is where a conclusion to a story arc before a break. So do you get some sort of reveal of Falcon walks out of the shadows, and it's beloved TV star so-and-so, it's Tony Danza or something like that. Do you get that kind of moment where you go, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And it's going to be back in a month. I can't wait. Or was that just not how it was scripted? Because CBS was like, keep making episodes. We'll put them in the schedule where it makes sense. I'm kind of hoping for the former. I'd like some kind of big wow thing. And we podcast it and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe such and such.
And then last one from me, Matt, was that actually Joe Morton with the saxophone?
Pete, I am a former saxophonist, and I am well schooled in the ways of saxophony. And I can tell you that he was mashing the keys and buttons in a way that that went with how one would. He wasn't just merely flailing there, kind of make moves when the soundtrack makes other sounds. Whether he was actually playing, Pete, I can tell you we have the question out there to Mr. Morton. No response yet. Maybe we'll update as this most important story, as it develops.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, we have a tweet from Pete. That is to say, Peter, a.k.a. Tweet Scala. And he said, this was another fantastic episode of God Friend and Me. I enjoy listening to your podcast. I can't wait to listen to it.
Well, very, very kind of Peter to tweet along with us and to check out the podcast. Thank you very much.
By the way, Peter is a fellow Mets fan, and on his Twitter, his kind of Twitter icon there is a picture of him with actress Violet Bean, our very own Kara. So a lot of similar interests there.
Co-showrunner Stephen Lillian, also a Mets fan, Matt. So a lot of love for the blue and orange and not those bums in the Bronx.
Indeed, Pete. Let's go to a poll that you ran on Twitter. Lucy angling in on Jaya with Rakesh. 80% of those who voted, Pete, said yes, she is. Ooh, drama.
Could she have been kind of propped up by this Falcon? Is she Falcon? Is she trying to sow derision within the group there, Matt, to kind of keep them from getting close to the God account?
Well, Pete, when she was introduced, I mistakenly thought that she was being introduced as Falcon, and you set me straight. But you know what? I'm thinking that maybe I was just two steps ahead, and though I misunderstood what they were saying in her introduction, I like that as a theory, that the big reveal is going to be Rakesh going, all right, download picture of Falcon. It's going to be like ultra, like digitized, and it's going to be more resolution, you know, the zoom and enhance cliche. And then it's going to be, wait, Falcon is Lucy.
As long as once we know who Falcon is, he or she goes on the Millennial Prophet podcast with Miles so we can have a Millennial Falcon.
Oh boy, Pete. Well, Pete, making our weekly podcast and our weekly Kessel Run possible is everyone who supports us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek, making sure the bleeps and the bloops make their way from our mouths to the microphones to the interwebs to your ears.
Yes, we have no need to blackmail people with seemingly innocent photos, given our army of supporters on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, and then there are all sorts of levels to donate past that. You could be at the Alfie, have a children's book written about you level, or you could just be Sal and, you know, shuffle off this mortal coil.
Well, Pete, the best treat is always free. That's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKlar, KetelAar, 10,164 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
For those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we're going to be talking some Star Trek Discovery theories in the next couple days. And towards the end of the week, this Thanksgiving week, we're going to be wrapping up season 3 of Daredevil. Of course, Pete, back next week on both the Pop Culture Podcast feed and the Godfriend of Me feed to talk episode 109 of this super fun, super heartfelt show. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
A baby is God's opinion that the world should go on.